totally raised her hand last time. Oh, now he's backing out. Can Tucker sing?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
Wait. Can you sing better than Tucker? Chicks that really need voices. Okay, so somebody may have to figure something out, or
I'm doing the
thing. He can sing.
Look at this. Look at this brave young soul.
Oh, guys, put your phone number on there too.
I don't have a phone number. I'm putting your name and number out there.
They don't know when Tucker actually put this up or just to get numbers.
So, come on.
Maddie with the pretty voice.
Yeah, Maddie.
Okay. I love the
Make sure you have a hymnal too.
Okay, does anybody in here have any experience with the piano and know how to at least play the notes on the piano?
Sierra knows how to.
Okay.
No, she can't bring music.
I can play a certain song.
Look it up on
the I'm not excited.
I can play the
let me read off the list just so I make sure I have everybody. Kenzie, Jordan, Alicia, Selena, Lauren, Danielle, Joey, Cody Patrick, Tucker, Trey, and Corinne. Is that everybody who wants?
Last but not least, saving the best for last.
Hey, how do I know the words?
We got Maddie, Lauren, and Amanda.
Yeah.
How do I
hey, Aaron.
Team. You don't have to have been on one of those teams to go up on this trip. You can go up just as like part of the youth group and join up with all the kids that are going up to Lincoln. But what we do need, and I really need to get a head start on this right now, just so that we can figure out what venues we can do and food and stuff like that. Who thinks and knows for sure right now that you'll be a part of this trip? All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sorry, just kidding. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So 9. Who wants to be a part of that but does not know if they can go yet? So 1, 2, 3, 4. Alright. So, right now, I mean, that's most of the class. So I'll just say like 15 right now is where we're at with it. So that's the plan. So the plan is from 6 to 6:30, we're going to meet up at the church sometime around then when it works out best. And we want to depart no later than 6:30 so we can get on the road and have time for pit stops and stuff like that. And overall, it's about a 3-hour trip. I'm going to make it up to Lincoln at 10. And what we're going to do, we got different options as far as our activity, but this is going to be our last time that we as like just exclusively kids get together are going to be going up to Lincoln for a minute. So what we want to do, we want to have a couple of kids get up and speak. Probably nothing big. The main big devotion is already covered, which was going to be about 20 to 30 minutes long. But then they want to have at least, you know, two or three of you guys get up and that want to like do like a testimony or something like that. So, I mean, that would be a great opportunity. Shoot, all you kids that haven't gone up with us yet, I'd love to hear from you. So let me know if you're feeling like doing that, and we'll get you hooked up, make it happen. So Saturday, May the 12th, get that down, talk to your parents. Sunday, I'll pass out something as a reminder just so your parents can also have this information. Because not that you kids don't relay information very well to your parents, anything like that. We've never had issues like that. I'll have something on Sunday for you guys, too. But be thinking about that. So if you wanna, even if you're a veteran at giving devotions and stuff like that, and you wanna be like a backup if somebody else can't come through, let me know, and we'll at least have you on the list and ready to go. So what's up, Logan?
This will just be like a one day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, this will be 6 to 6 almost. So, yeah. Lunch and dinner will be provided, but you'll have to bring money for like any type of snacks you want. We stop at the rest stop. And we'll also be carpooling in some way. Probably those vans again.
I love those vans.
Maybe like that bus one. I heard that bus one was pretty clean. I didn't get to ride on that though, but it was pretty spacious. So. All right. Those are my announcements. Am I leaving out anything? Am I forgetting anything? Oh. Okay. All right. Well, let's say this. A lot of things closed up this week. One, Maddie Kennicott's track season just closed up. We give her a hand clap. Think she's excited about that. And we have a gold medalist sitting amongst us tonight. Kinsey today. No, she killed it. They did an awesome little hurdle relay, and it was really fun to watch the way that they did it. But she killed it. Beautiful form and everything. Executed the race. Very, very great. Yes. You get a hymnal now. Yeah. So great job on that stuff, guys. I think that's it. What's up, Angela?
Danielle had a birthday.
Danielle? What? Who's your birthday? All right. Stand up. Let's go. Nope. You got to stand. Kids and just what you're doing in their lives, Father. I look forward to what you're going to continue to do, and I want to make sure that I give them everything that they need to be everything that they need to be for you, Father. Well, I just pray and ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. I told you we're going to open with this. Arise, my soul, arise. Arise, my soul, arise. That's number somewhere in the packet. I don't know what the numbers are. Just like you turn until you find it. When you do, let me know where it is. All right, somebody found it. 43. 43. On the pages that I'm covering.
Arise.
Arise, my soul, arise.
There it is. It's like, wow.
Four pages from the end. All right. Let's get those choir voices ready. Let's get ready to sing for heaven. Here we go. Arise, my soul, arise.
Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in thy behalf appears. Before the throne, I surely stand. Before the throne, I surely stand. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His love
How many of you guys heard this song before? Raise your hand. Cody's heard it. I know you suggested it. Corinne's heard it. Maddie's heard it. Lauren's heard it. Jordan has not heard it. All right.
Who is Dave?
Who is Dave?
Yeah, who is Dave?
Let me see that.
Husband? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tabby's husband.
Oh, really?
That
makes sense. Right.
Amaro, that's oh no, it's Dave Amaro. That's his making off the course. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. All right.
Work out.
Oh. Yeah. How we're going?
Working out.
All right. Here we go. This world is not my home. You'll catch the whole feeling if you don't know it. It's not too hard at all. All right. So the first verse. Here we go. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. guys got to give me more than that. All right. You got to help me out tonight. Let's do verse number one again. Let's get this melody down. I'll slow it down a little bit too, so you can read the words. All right. Verse one.
This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world.
And on the chorus,
oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Verse 2.
They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
All right, let's do verse number three. Let's take it up a little bit. Let's sing it bluegrass fast. All right, here we go. Number three.
I have a loving mother up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
Verse three again. Number three.
I have a loving mother up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world.
On the chorus!
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world.
Much more!
Just up in glory land will live eternally. The saints of every hand are shouting victory. Their song is sweet as praise, drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home.
Verse number four, again.
Just up in glory land will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song is sweet as praise, drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, Lord,
oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Amen. Good. Open up the hymnal. I don't know the number yet. It's a song that reminded me. I was reminded of while singing that one. Two sixty-seven in the hymnal.
267.
Yes. Oh my God. 2, 6, and 7. Here we go. All things work out for good. You guys remember this one a little bit? Okay. You're gonna learn it. Here we go.
All things work out for good. We know such is
Originally when he made everything? Okay. At the end, when God gets everything like he wants it and we go out into eternity, is there going to be sin then? You're like, oh, maybe. I mean, no. So no. No. Because he's going to make it perfect. God's not going to allow sin to dwell with him, okay? He's not going to do that. So the thing about sin, number one, that's what separates us from God. Number two, let's just be really secular with it. Anything that comes into existence has to go somewhere. Matter can't be created or destroyed or anything like that. You know, it's here. It changes forms and stuff like that. We understand that. But check this out. Right now, sin can be kind of cool. Right now, sin doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get punished for it. There's a lot of people that are sinning in the world and making a lot of money for it. There's a lot of people that are sinning in the world and finding a lot of pleasure from it. But eventually, one day, if you die and that sin is still yours, that's going to be the very thing that's burning you alive for the rest of eternity. that's going to be the very thing that's causing you to never know what it's like to drink water again, to never know what it's like to laugh again, to never know what it's like not to be screaming your head off anymore. Sin is what damns the man. It's what takes him to hell. When you understand that your sin that you brought, that you have upon yourself, was taken off of you and put onto Jesus Christ, verse number 3 becomes really special to you. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross. Thank God you don't have to die with your sin. Thank God that you don't have to experience the fire of hell because of where Jesus Christ put your sin upon himself. The Bible says, for he, talking about God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Verse number 3 again.
My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Girls. Situation in life or anything like that. Take a moment for a second. Think about that. At least I know where everybody's thinking is. It's like right here in the top right corner. I saw your eyes like go like that. Go over there. Alright. Well, if something comes to mind, feel free to stop me. I'm going to open up. I got two things I do want to talk about tonight. The first one, someone did bring a question to me, and we're going to cover that real quick. Now, you guys have heard about this before. We've talked about different religions. We talked about even different breakdowns within Christianity and how they do things that might be a little different than what we do here at Old Paths. And the name of our church is that for a reason, Old Paths. It means that we stick to the teachings. We stick to the doctrine that the original Christians laid out, and they got it straight from Jesus Christ and for our own purpose from the Apostle Paul, who the Bible says is the apostle to the Gentiles. And when we talk about the old past, that's what we're talking about. We can trace our roots. We can trace what we believe all the way back to the first Christians that were in Antioch. All right? And many people nowadays will say that they're an old-time, you know, Bible-believing church. A lot of people will say we're with that old-time religion. We're with the, you know, we're old-timey Baptists and stuff like that. But you'll find that even amongst people that are named the same, they have different beliefs. I was talking to a kid in the youth group, and they said that they go to a church that's a King James church, but they also believe in speaking in tongues. They also believe in speaking in tongues. All right, so I want to touch on that for a second. She asked that question. She was like, well, can you lay that out for us? You know, just I want to see what the Bible has to say about that. Let's go over tongues real quick. Let's see what it has to say and why it came about, where it shows up, why it shows up, who it's for, what's the proper application for today. So that's the first thing I want to touch on, just something for us to get some good doctrine down. And then I'm going to close with an inspirational thing that I picked up this week. And hopefully that will be a blessing to you, and you'll be able to examine yourself like the Bible says and grow further with God. All right, so first, let's talk about this thing with tongues. Tongues. Who's heard of tongues? Who's eaten the tongues before? Cow tongue. You had cow tongue?
Yeah.
Good deal. Did you like it?
Kind of.
Okay. I never had cow tongue or anything like that. But this is not what we're talking about. All right, so tongues. So raise your hands again, those of you that have heard of tongues. All right, what do you know about tongues, Amanda? Like when somebody says tongues, like what connotation does it come up in, or how do they talk about it?
Like they think, well, I don't know like what religion believes this, but they think that like God is speaking through you, so they say a bunch of like random like stuff, and then somebody else like translates it over and over.
Has anybody heard anyone speak in tongues before? What'd you hear, Lisa, when you heard somebody, can you show us what it sounded like?
It's just gibberish.
Just gibberish? Are they saying gibberish, like that? Or anybody else heard somebody speak in tongues that wants to give us an example? Logan, go ahead.
I haven't personally heard somebody speak it, but Mason from Washington was telling me that he has a friend that does that. Mm-hmm. And like he said that he just started like mouthing stuff, and then he asked him to try it, and then he just made up a whole bunch of stuff and started talking all weird. Yeah. And then the guy was like, okay, good, you can speak in tongues or whatever. But I know that it's like they think you're like moved by the Holy Spirit, and like Amanda said, God's just talking through you, and it's like just like an out of body experience or something.
Like supernaturally, the Holy Spirit takes over your mouth or something like that, and then just starts speaking for you or something. Okay. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. My personal experience with tongues, I have, I think, four or five of my relatives that claim to speak in tongues. One aunt that calls herself a psalmist, she's just basically a singer or something like that, but she, to be more spiritual, she calls herself a psalmist. And then two of my aunts, you know what, they're all singers, now that I think about it. And it's all people that are really connected to their Christianity is built on their experiences, on the sensations that they get in the service. It's built around, you know, the praise groups that they're in and stuff like that. All of them hold this thing with speaking in tongues very highly. And it's kind of like you guys said, when you hear them talk, you know, it's like, Ashama Bolti, kind of a Honda, you know, you know, something that sounds like that. It's like almost demonic sounding. It's very weird. And I've actually been in the church service where almost everyone in the auditorium was speaking like that. And my first experience with that, I didn't know what the heck was going on. You know, I was like, I thought I knew my aunt. I thought I knew these people. You know, we've talked every day on a daily basis. Where did this sound that's coming out of them right now come from? All right, we're going to talk about that at the end of this little segment on tongues, just like the application today and what some of that stuff tells us about people. But let's look at what the Bible says. And what I want you guys to get down always, whenever someone lays out something, they bring up something in life, always go back to the Bible and find what the Bible has to say about it. So what are we going to do with tongues? Well, we're going to go find where it shows up first in the Bible. And that's going to give us what we call the law of first mention on something. The law of first mention. And the law of first mention is simply the first time a word shows up in the Bible generally will lay out the context for which it's going to be used throughout the rest of the Bible. So however it shows up the first time in the Bible will be the context in which it's used throughout the rest of the Bible. The first time the word tongue shows up is in Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Who knows what the word Genesis means? Beginnings, yeah, beginnings. We say this is the genesis of our mission. It's the beginning of our mission. So in the book of beginnings, we're going to find out what this word tongues means. And look at this. Bible numerology kicks in. Genesis chapter 10. Who knows what the number 10 represents in the Bible?
The
number of the Gentiles. Oh, that sounds weird. The Gentiles. some words you can't play with. All right. The number of the Gentiles. All right, Gentiles. Okay. So, Genesis chapter 10. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Watch this. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. Verse 5, the first time tongue shows up in the Bible. Here we go. Let's see what the context is. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Tongues shows up with families, nations, isles, and lands. Now, what are those names? That's geography. That's how we're broken up. That's how we're separated. Does China look like Africa? I guess in some ways. I guess there's grass in China and a blue sky over there. It's like in Africa or something like that. Is the landscape the same? Can you grow the same crops? Everything that you can grow in Africa. Does Missouri have palm trees like Florida?
No.
No. Where you're at, your borders, your language, and your culture will be different depending on the region that you're in on this earth. The first time tongue shows up right there, it lays out nations, families, tongues. All right, drop down to verse 10. No, that's not what I want. Hold on. Verse 20. Look at it again. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, in their nations. Look at verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, and the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. All right, now drop over to verse 31. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and their lands, after their nations. Tongues here is just a language. Genesis chapter 10 is right before Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 10 lays out all the Gentiles that are going to be on earth. All right, the Bible says that we've got Jews that are God's chosen people. We've got the church of God, that's you and I because we're saved. The third group is the Gentiles. People that aren't Jews and people that aren't a part of God's church. They're just all the different nations and conglomerates out there. And the first time the word tongue shows up, it's in Genesis chapter 10, laying out the different nations. Now guess where the languages get changed? The very next chapter, Genesis chapter 11. That's where God separates all these nations out and sends them on their own way. All right, so the first thing we see about tongues is that the first time it shows up, the context is a language. It's not a goofy guttural sound that comes out of someone's throat. It's not something that people don't understand. It's a way that people identify with one another. It's a way that people speak to each other, and they call it a tongue. Another great way to identify what the Bible means by a word is to look at the last time that word is mentioned in the Bible. All right, so the first mention was in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. The last mention of the word tongues is in Revelation 17, verse 15. And I'll read that. You might not be able to turn there quick enough. Revelation 17, verse 15 says this. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Consistent with the first time we saw it. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues will line up with families, nations, and tongues back there in Genesis chapter 10. So tongues has nothing to do with some goofy sound that comes out of your mouth or gibberish. It's what we say. It's your language. It's what tongue you speak in. All right? Now one more spot. So those are the first time it's mentioned in the Bible and the last time it's mentioned in the Bible. Let's look at the first time it actually shows up in history in the Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 2. You might want to have something that you hold in Acts 2. We'll be coming back to it later on after we make some points. So the first time it's mentioned was in Genesis 10, where God defined all the different Gentile nations, and he said each nation had their own tongue. In Revelation 17:15, it was the last time it shows up. Did you know that you guys can be a part of the same nation but speak a different language? Oh, yeah, absolutely. They say that there's a southern dialect versus a northern dialect. There you go. Africa. That whole continent over there. You know, there's nations within that group. There's states and stuff like that. And they have so many different languages that are composed all over there. And so your tongue is just a smaller breakdown of who you are as a person, as a group, as a culture. All right, so Acts chapter 2, this is the first time it shows up in history. I'll pick it up in verse 1. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Now, just being honest, if I were just to read that, that would be kind of weird. It doesn't sound like a language at all. It sounds like some extraterrestrial phenomenon that just took place right there. Cloven tongues as of fire, and it sets upon them, and it comes in with a rushing mighty wind. So don't worry about that right now. But right there, we got our first. We got the first mention, we got the last mention, and now we got the first place that ever shows up in history. And we'll come back to it to define it. So right now we're laying the groundwork. We're showing you what the Bible has to say about this thing. Now, you might be wondering, well, why in the world does this thing even show up in the Bible at all? What's the purpose behind it? Okay, let's look at something. Come over here to Isaiah chapter 28. Get that in one hand. It's going to be a lot of Bible terms tonight. And then in your other hand, get 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Think straight, Isaiah 28, and then 1 Corinthians 1. All right. Now watch this. I'm going to give you a New Testament principle where God tells you what two different groups of people are looking for. He's going to lay out in the Bible how he operates with two different groups of people. So Isaiah 28 in one hand, 1 Corinthians 1 in the other. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 1, and then I'm going to go back to Isaiah 28. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. This is a principle you need to understand and get down. Verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says this, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." I'm going to slow that down because I said that pretty quick. No. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." That's the principle. If you're a Jew, God works with you with signs. If you're a Greek, and that's just using Greek in general for like a Gentile, which would be all the rest of us, unless if you're a Jew in this building. If you're a Greek, if you're somebody that's a Gentile, that was originally a Gentile before you're saved, God doesn't use signs with you. He uses wisdom. That's why in the church age we have a Bible. That's why in the Old Testament they had signs and wonders and miracles and people being raised from the dead and people getting life back and people's eyes that were once blind, they can now see. Because God deals with the Jew using signs. You guys understand that? The Jew requires a sign. The Greek, the Gentile, looks for wisdom. All right, now come back to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. This is the first time that tongues are prophesied about. So Isaiah says, God's going to do something strange. He's going to do something crazy. And this is the first time that it comes up. Now watch this. When he talks about this thing of tongues coming up, watch who he says it's going to happen to. Watch where these people are located. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Watch it. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Now who is this people? We really don't know. Based off of that verse, you can guess, you can say something. Maybe if you listen and paid attention to other Bible studies, you already know where I'm going with this. But just based off of that verse, this people could be any people under God's heaven. It hasn't been defined. Verse 11 again. He says right here, Isaiah, he's prophesying, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he," talking about God, "speak to this people." Now he's going to give us an idea of who this people is. Watch, verse 12. "To whom he said," so this is something he said to this people at one time, "this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Okay, I'm still lost. That gave me absolutely nothing. Now watch it. Verse 14. We're going to get some clarity. "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people." There's this people again, but watch where they are. "Which is in Jerusalem." You guys see that? Did Mexicans dwell in Jerusalem? Trey's like, no. Jerusalem. That name is so familiar. It's like, I know there's a group that's associated with that, and I cannot get the J word. The Jesuits? Is that what it is? Jumping Jelly Beans? Jumping Jehoshaphat? What is it? It's the Jews. It's the Jews. Isaiah was a Jew prophesying to Jews about when God would speak to the Jews. It has nothing to do with an American speaking in tongues over here. Now, that's important because that's the first time it's prophesied about. Let's look at another place where tongues doesn't quite show up, but it's still prophesied about. Turn to Mark, the book of Mark. The book of Mark. The book of Mark. All right. Now let's watch this. Mark chapter 16. Pick it up in verse 9. So, what's happening here? Actually, I'm not going to read verse 9. That's going to be too much reading. I'm just going to lay it out. Jesus Christ just rose from the dead. And his disciples have yet to see him. And they're waiting for him to appear and show himself and everything like that. Thomas still hadn't believed because he hasn't put his hands in the holes and all that stuff like that. He's still doubting. And Mark chapter 16, Jesus Christ eventually appears and he shows himself to the disciples. Now, these disciples were all Jews, okay? They were all one nation, one people, one tongue. Now watch what he says to them. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 14. Let's pick it up there. And don't forget, this is Jesus talking to Jews that are of the same nation, the same tongue. Verse 14. "Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart." Now wait, didn't Jesus have 12 disciples? Why does it say 11 right there? Yeah, I just want to make sure you're with me. All right, so we're still talking about the disciples, but Judas has already committed suicide, and he's gone. All right? "After he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." So Jesus Christ is upset with his disciples because they didn't believe when other people told them that they saw him raised. Verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." When they say, "Well, Lord, how will we know that they truly believed? How do we know that they're not just giving us lip service, Lord? How do we know that your Holy Ghost is truly in them? How do we know that they're really your converts, God? What sign? We're Jews. We need a sign. You can't just give us, you know, your words and us trust that wisdom. We're not like that. We need a sign." He says, all right, watch this. Verse 17. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." All right. So tongues are for the Jews. It's a sign given to the Jew. And Jesus Christ tells his disciples to look for this sign so that they know who his true followers are and who the true believers are. But not only that, look at this. Look at verse 18. Once you speak with tongues and once you're a true believer, look what else you're going to be able to do. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover them." They say not only that, you'll be able to drink poison, and it won't affect you. Not only that, you'll be able to walk in the children's mercy and take all the doctors out of business because you'll be able to heal everyone in there. Now, let me ask you guys this real quick. Let's do a real quick pit stop. Anybody that you know has spoken in tongues or believes that they can speak in tongues, were they able to do those other two things along with their tongues? Were they able to drink poison without it harming them? Were they able to heal people without them having to go to the doctor, take medicine, or any type of antibiotics? All right, so far we're 0-3. All right, head on over to Acts chapter 2. This is where we're going to end up when it comes to tongues. So we saw where tongues was first mentioned. It was a language, not some goofy guttural gibberish or anything like that. We saw who tongues was for. It was prophesied to go to the nation of Israel. And now in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see when it actually shows up and why it shows up. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 again. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, here it comes. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now watch this. You might be wondering, well, who the heck is the they? Jump back to Acts chapter 1, look at verse 26. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So who's the they going to be, guys? The 11 apostles. What nationality are those 11 apostles? All right, so in Acts chapter 2, every time we find the word they, it's not talking about Christians. It's not talking about Gentiles. It's talking about Jews. You guys understand that? All right, now let's keep reading. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, the Jews, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they, the Jews, were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they, the Jews, were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them, the Jews, utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem. There it is from Isaiah 28. Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The Bible says in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In verse number 6, the Bible says every man heard them speak in his own language. Right there, it shows you once again, tongues is just another language. It's like Mandarin. It's like Spanish. It's like Italian. It's cold to make it rough. Alright, it's like Italian, alright? So, this is what I want you guys to see out of all this. You might, just, what's the overall picture? Zach, you're giving me a lot of verses, you're giving me a lot of facts and stuff like that, but what's the big picture that's going on here? This is what it all comes down to. When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for his people, the Bible says that he came to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? That's who he came to first. And if Israel would have accepted Jesus Christ, he would have gathered them together from all corners of the earth to come and formulate that kingdom that he promised to them a long time ago. He tried to get that thing going. He tried to get that thing accomplished. But here's the problem. 400 years before that, there we go. Nebuchadnezzar had come into Jerusalem. Sennacherib had come down there into Jerusalem. They had taken the 10 northern tribes into captivity. They had taken the 2 southern tribes into captivity out of Jerusalem. For 400 years, the Jews have now been gone from their homeland. How old is America? Anybody know? Like 240-something years or something like that. Oh, okay. Now, where do you guys think I probably originated? Or my ancestors? Thinking Germany? All right, probably Africa, okay? Actually, they said Madagascar, believe it or not. I think we did like a, I don't know, I'm nutty enough to be from Madagascar, King Louis, whatever his name is, over there. But, so check that out. I'm not sure about all the languages that are spoken in Africa, like Swahili. I think French is a big one over there. Afrikaans is another one down in like the South African area and stuff like that. You guys think I know any of that language? Okay, my ancestors have only been removed from Africa for under 200 years. And I don't know any of those languages. Okay? And this is in the information age. This is when we have Rosetta Stone, where if I wanted to learn that stuff, I could. This is when we have Dora the Explorer, where I could pick up a language just by watching a cartoon. All right? This is when foreign languages taught in our American schools. They weren't so liberal back then where they thought you had to pick up other people's cultures and stuff like that. People were a lot more, no, this is what we do. If you don't like it, you can hit the road type of deal back then. All right, but nowadays, we're in the information sharing era, and I don't know any language except for English. Go back 2,000 years to the time of Jesus Christ, where for 400 years, the Jews had been out of Jerusalem. Do you think if they'd been gone from their homeland for 400 years in different parts of the earth, they were still speaking Hebrew? They weren't. They're speaking the language of the nation that they were outcast in. The nation that they were in captivity in. And the Jews won't take, you know, your wisdom and your smarts and your expertise for an answer. They always look for the signs. Their religion is built off of what God did with Moses. With what God did with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Gideon, with Samson. They know all these Old Testament stories where if God's really doing something, He'll come down from heaven like fire and consume the sacrifice. He'll separate the Red Sea and part the way for His people to go through. He didn't want to hear your wisdom. He wants to see a sign. Okay, so how is God going to do a sign that all these guys will know this is really God? This is Him speaking to us. I'll pull a trick like this. I'll get the Jews gathered together in Jerusalem. No matter what nation that they're a part of, we'll call it like a G20 summit or something like that. We'll get them from all the 20 nations that are around. They all speak different languages and watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the disciples stand up and speak to each one of them in their own language. That will be amazing. Watch all the different languages that get spoken. Acts chapter 2. Pick it up. Somebody keep count for me. Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Now watch all these languages that these boys can speak in. Here we go. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" So these are all Texans. And now they're getting up and speaking in all the 300 and something different languages of the world. Watch. Verse 8. "And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Count it for me. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and in Asia, and in Phrygia, and in Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them, the 12 apostles, speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." That makes sense to you guys? That's what tongues was all about. That's what tongues was for. It was for a sign to the nation of Israel to know that God's hand was truly on it. And it was for the apostles to tell them the Messiah has come. Jesus Christ is ready to start His kingdom. Will you join the crowd? Now, what does that have to do with somebody in America in 2018? Not a darn thing. That's tongues. That's why God gave it to them. That's what the plan for it was. Give the Jews a sign so that no matter where they were on the earth, they could see a sign like they had all throughout the Old Testament and know that this was God working in them. And number two, it was to get the message out really quickly to everyone in their own language that Jesus Christ was back and He was ready to get the party started if the Jews were ready to accept Him. This is before they had finally rejected Jesus Christ. If they would have gotten together, accepted Him, and listened to that message, He would have come back and started that kingdom right then. But we know history and it didn't work out like that. Now that right there is in a nutshell, really quickly and really simply, exactly why God brought tongues about and why He gave it to the nation of Israel. Now the reason why it gets confusing, and I'll say this just to put a bow on it, is because you do have Paul write about it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, turn over there real quick, and I just got to outline this just in case somebody takes you there. And if they do, if you have any issues with this, with friends or anything like that, they want to know, they're like, well, I saw the stuff you took me to in the Old Testament and back then the transitional period of Acts and Matthew and Mark and all that stuff like that. But the Apostle Paul himself takes a whole chapter and writes about it. Absolutely. The reason why Paul does that is simply because he realizes they're in a transition. The Jews have just rejected Jesus Christ, and a lot of the signs and gifts that God gave them are still fading out because they're still ministering to Jews and witnessing to them. So God gives them an ability to continue to do that. But one thing that he says is that all this stuff, these signs and these gifts, they're going to cease. All right? Look at 1 Corinthians. If you're in 1 Corinthians 14, take your eyes and go, just gloss over to that page over there in 1 Corinthians 13. Watch this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. So when does that happen, Zach? It happens once the Jews reject them and Jesus and Paul moves on to the Gentiles. Whether there will be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So tongues are going to cease. The Bible clearly says right there. Tongues have an end game. Tongues eventually are going to run out. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14. This is the chapter that Paul writes to the Christians because they're messing around with tongues. They're not doing it right. It's gotten into the church because of the transitional period where God's going from the Jew to the Gentile, and Paul wants to help them to stop all the confusion. There's a lot of confusion and nonsense going on and chaos, and Paul wants to help them out. All right, he says this. Pick it up in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. What's prophecy? Prophecy is what we do when we open up the book of Revelation and read to you what's going to take place when Jesus Christ comes back. Prophecy is what Bob does in Bible Basics when he lays out what's going to take place in the tribulation, in the millennium, in the ages of ages, in eternity. Prophecy is when that's all that is. It doesn't mean that we're opening up and talking about stuff that's not in the Bible. It means we're going to God's revealed account of the future, laying that thing out to you. Now watch this. The Bible says very clearly in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Look at verse 12. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. If you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Paul said in verse 12, you should seek to edify the church. When I opened up my Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, I saw that God gave us the church for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, not for the edifying of yourself. Someone that speaks in tongues, that's a personal thing that they're messing around with. That has nothing to do with what you're supposed to be doing in this day and age, right now. One last spot I want to show you. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. God lists all these gifts that are out there. And let me show you his emphasis that he puts on tongues, where he places it. Verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles. That's first place. Secondarily prophets. And thirdly teachers. And after that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Then helps. Then governments, and lastly, diversities of tongues. So that is like a real quick synopsis. That's a real quick, you know, running through and just showing you guys what the Bible has to say about tongues, why they came about, who they were for, their purpose. But then our day and age, what's the point of them? Where is it today? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's ceased. And today, if you hear someone speaking in tongues, there's this one of three things that's going on right there. Number one, they're faking it. you'll hear them get up and they'll do like their whole thing where they speak in their gibberish and something like that, and then it will pretty much edify themselves. It's their way of setting themselves apart from you so that you don't feel as spiritual as they are. they've got something, they've got a corner on the Holy Spirit that you haven't got. And they fake that thing so that they can separate themselves spiritually. Or it's something that they truly believe and now have psychologically deceived themselves into thinking that they can talk in that way. And the last reason, which I'm not saying anybody that I personally know has this, but it's very crazy how you can see this uncanny resemblance. The other time you see people speaking in different tongues is when they're demon possessed. And that's not just something you see in the movies. That's stuff that people will record and they'll tell you about. And plenty of things. You get in some articles and look at some of the recordings from some of those possessions and stuff like that. And they talk about how people that were born in the middle of the USA are speaking in ancient Egyptian, ancient Arabian languages that have been dead for years. Now, why is that? That's because the spirit that's inside of them knows those languages. And they can talk in those languages. A spirit can pick up anything and speak about it. So that's something to look out for. And I'm not saying when you go into a charismatic church and they get up and do their nonsense, they're all demon possessed. But I'm just saying, man, if you're in the same if you're on the same playground as a demon, you might want to go find a new slide. But that sucks. I wanted to go into this inspirational thing tonight. It's I don't need to do that. I feel like I'm going to start coughing up blood here pretty soon or something. It's getting curdly down here. It's getting really dry in there. But that's there it is. That's that. Does anybody have any questions regarding that? We'll keep it simple. We're not gonna bring in add another subject to try to open that thing up and then go through it. What's up, Laura? Sure, let's see. 1 Corinthians 14 would be the best spot for them to go to. And I can show you where Paul, when he's even talking to them, lays out how it's supposed to be done right. Watch this. This is the right way to speak in tongues. And I didn't cover this. We didn't really have time. And it's not necessary because we don't do it now. But back then, when the transition was still happening, Paul lays out the right way to do it. Watch this. Verse 26 in 1 Corinthians 14. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath the psalm, hath the doctrine, hath the tongue, hath the revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So Paul goes back to that. He says, if you can't do this to edify everybody, don't do it at all. So then he lays out how to do it to edify others. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, that's just a language that nobody else knows. Watch. Let it be by two, or at the most three. So that would be Amanda, Jordan, and Lauren. That's the most that could speak in tongues in one service. Not the whole congregation spitting out and sounding like a bunch of turkeys on Thanksgiving, okay? That's not what it's talking about. Let it be done unto edifying. It says by two, or at the most three. And that by course. So course is Amanda first. She gets done and sits down. Jordan next. He gets done and sits down. Lauren last. That's all. Verse 28. Here's the exception. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So if nobody is interpreting all that nonsense, nobody should be speaking at all. And if that's something that you actually had to do way back then, 2,000 years ago, during the transition from the Jew to the Gentile, God, Paul says right here, do it to yourself and with God. Verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. So he's laying out order to everything. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. He's emphasizing order. When we opened up 1 Corinthians 14, he was trying to establish some order in this church that didn't have any order. Verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now that's huge. You may not understand what that means. Let me break this down. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Anybody ever seen charismatics on television and all of a sudden they get overtaken by something and start shaking and falling over the place and stuff like that? The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. God says you can control your own spirit. There's never a time where God will come take over your body and cause you to do convulsions and vibrations and junk like that. That's putting on. That's acting. You guys catch that? The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Man is in control of his own spirit. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion. Anybody that's ever been in one of those services, and I've been in plenty of them, I was a musician playing in them. I used to look forward to them because I thought that meant the music we were playing really touched everybody and it was working like it should. My goal, back before I came to Old Paths, I was a drummer. And my goal, and my pastor used to say this to us, he used to say, I want you guys to play so well that the people get so excited that I don't have to get up and preach. That was our goal in our church services, to make it rock so hard in there that the people just wanted to shout and scream and what we call praise God and worship Him so that we didn't have to hear a message that day. Because the epitome of service was our sensational experiences. You see that? What does God say right here? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. God's not the author of confusion. And that stuff is some of the most craziest stuff that I've ever seen. You know, I thought it was cool because I was a kid. I just wanted to see some excitement. I wanted to see something wild happen, you know? But that's the problem. When you come back to the Bible, it gives you the way that God looks at it, what He has to say about it. And now you have to line up your experience with the Word of God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, look at verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. How many of you guys know the Ten Commandments? You ever heard of those before?
Yeah, I remember like all of them.
All right, do you think those are pretty important to God? All right, what I just read to you is just as important. These are the commandments. Just as significant as those ten. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. All that stuff. What I just read to you is just as important. Do you think people follow these as well as they follow the other ones? Not quite. Verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I like that. Paul says right there, now I'll lay this stuff out for you. You asked me about tongues. You said you were having problems in your church. You said you wanted some order to your chaos. You said you wanted to be done with the confusion. All right, I'm going to take a whole chapter and lay it out for you. Now, if after I write this, you don't want to listen to it, guess what God tells us to do to those folks? If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If he wants to be stupid, let him be stupid. And that's how it goes. It's not something that I get into an argument with them about. At one time when I saw that my aunts could speak in tongues and I couldn't, I questioned my salvation for a little bit. But that's what it comes down to. It's a way to set yourself apart from others with a fake spirituality. And God lays out exactly what He thinks about that. The Apostle Paul, who is for our church age and for the Gentile church, lays out how this thing is supposed to be done. Not today, but back when the transition was happening. Today it ceased. It doesn't exist anymore. Anybody that's known as completely pagan, they're psychologically jacked up upstairs or they're demon-possessed. Okay? That's what the Bible lays out when it comes to that. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. He says what you ought to covet, what you ought to desire to do is prophesy. And that's what we do. We talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ. Has that happened already? Has the judgment seat of Christ happened already? Is it happening right now? It's in the future. It's a prophecy. And that's one of the things we fire you up about. That's one of the main emphases that we always turn your heart towards. How you stand before God when it's all over. We covet and we desire to prophesy. And that's what we do at our church. And forbid not to speak with tongues. He laid it out for you here. You don't have to make that your own personal agenda to go and slaughter everyone that speaks in tongues or that puts on a show like that. But he says this, let all things be done decently and in order. And anybody that's ever been to a charismatic church, that's one of the last things that they're concerned with is decency and order. That doesn't mean you have to sit there like you've just been given a shot that euthanized you, that's getting ready to put you to sleep or something like that. But there's a structure and order that God has to His program. Well, I'm actually kind of excited that I didn't get to this other thing that I was going to bring up. I want to develop it a little bit more into something bigger for you all. But good job, guys. Don't forget, Saturday, May the 12th. Check with your parents. If you don't know, you can go. I want to make sure we get everybody up there. We always have a blast when we take that road trip up to Nebraska. I'm looking forward to it. So check with your parents. Saturday, May the 12th. It's going to be an all-day trip. We're going to leave at 6 a.m. Try to have you back here somewhere from 9:30 to 10 p.m. And we'll go from there. All right, guys. Good job tonight. Let's head out. Let's head out. Cody, pray us out, please.
Dear Father, thanks for telling me all how to come out here now. Just to give us a chance to go through our daily life and think about that problem ever comes up. We have the knowledge now to handle it for us just to go out for the rest of the week, think about you, and for us to have a greater sustain.
Touch on everything.
No, it was good.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, but hopefully that'll be good for you, like, to kind of share with Levi, and he'll kind of be able to understand what's happening around him. That's the weirdest thing. I never heard of Baptist speaking in tongues, though. That's weird.
The verse he said, she read it to me, and I was like, that's not even right. I was like...
Yeah, so you don't actually know what the actual verse was that he was saying they used?
He wasn't for sure, and I won't be. He's in Rhode Island until Wednesday,
Okay.
So.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I'll see him. Like,
yeah,
next
if he texts it or you get it, just send it to me, and I'll be able to look at it. But that was kind of that quickly, and with everyone in here, that's the best I could kind of give a general idea of it. So.
He kind of brought it up, and then he heard what I had to say about it.
So he kind of backpedaled a little bit. Like, oh,
yeah,
no.
He just kind of so how is this? And he's like, I have so much work for, whatever. And I was like, okay.
She said that she asked him if he believed in it and he wouldn't give her a straight answer.
Yeah.
He was like, people at my church do. Because, he doesn't like to disagree. And he doesn't to be, in your face.
Yeah,
stuff. Like, he tries to be nice about things.
Okay.
So.
No, that makes sense.
But I know you guys, people go on our website sometimes and, listen to stuff, so maybe by chance you'll click on that.
Good. Yeah. Nah, man, nobody want to lose you guys as friends, so I could see him backpedaling. He's like, oh, shoot, I don't want to ruin this opportunity. So, No, that doesn't make sense.
But I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so I know you've been
how
over this.
How long has your last
week? It's only an hour today. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I know you've been over this multiple times before, and I was like looking for my notebook with the notes in it, but I could not find it. And so right now in school we're learning about like evolution, and like obviously I know it's not right. And my teacher, she's like, she says she's a Christian and stuff. So like, she said the theory of evolution like came out in the 60s, and she was like, and he put this.
She said it came out in
yes,
the 60s?
Yes, I know. No. That's yeah. She said like
no.
It came out in the 60s because this guy put it in a book. Like scientists had talked about it before that, but he put it in a book proving it wrong, and nobody like read the whole book, and they just thought it was real. That's what she said. And I was like,
so
okay.
Like, was it written out?
She had like a worksheet she passed out or anything? Or this
no, like that's what she said. That's why I was like, I don't know if that's right, but like,
no,
I was like, but
not
you
at
know
all.
What?
I mean, that's, I can't believe she would say something like that because Darwin is the one that's attributed with it. Mm-hmm. Even before Darwin, you had Babylonians that believed
it. She said
that like
he
that.
Put it out in a complete thing in a book. And then proved it wrong. And I was like, what's the name of this book?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear the name of this book. I'd love to just see some type of evidence for anything she said.
But
Darwin
like,
was back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
So, that's,
so,
anyway.
She said that, like, but she says that she doesn't, like, believe that, like, humans evolve. But, like, we do talk about how, like mice will evolve over time. Like, their color will change and stuff. Like, that makes sense, like, natural selection.
Well, God says that in the Bible, that the animals will change after their kind. Meaning, basically, so you have, like, your phylum, genus, and species and stuff like that. You can do all kinds of changes and stuff like that based off of the topography, where you're at on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, birds that are in hotter climates, you know, feathers will be thinner and stuff like that. So,
yeah, science can.
So, absolutely. Like, I know, like, I'm going to do your inspirational thing, but can you, like, go over again, like,
oh, yeah, some, like,
evolution, where
like,
it came
absolutely,
from?
Man. Sure.
Like, where it came
well,
from and how we know
forget.
It's
yeah.
not right.
Absolutely.
Cause like I know it's not right, but I can't really remember exactly. And
good,
she like asked our personal opinions, and I was like, I can tell you what my personal opinion is, but I can't give you like anything to back it up.
Well, yeah, we'll do that. We'll get you some ammo so that you can go back to the class next time, and if your teacher wants to listen,
yeah.
you'll be able to pass it around. It'll be good. It'll be fun.
Who do you follow? She told me that she thinks I'm dyslexic, so I'm not very fond of her anyway.
What did you like mess up on a word or
no,
something?
No, she gives us these papers and we get 10 minutes to read an article and then 20 questions, but she takes the article back. And I fail them every single time and she goes, yeah.
She wants you like to memorize what you read?
Yes, and then 20 questions. And I'm like, okay, well I'm not very good at like.
Okay, I can see that being beneficial. If she didn't like, if it was like just a completion assignment,
yeah.
But not like grading each one to see like
yeah.
the accuracy.
And, well, and if you have 10 minutes, like your comprehension is going to be off.
Oh,
you're already rushing.
I'm not a good reader.
Just now, I'm 29 years old, and just now am I really starting to get good at when I read out loud, knowing exactly what I'm saying while reading. I'm serious.
I can
before,
only do it if I read out loud. I can't read
yeah,
in my head.
Before,
yeah.
If I read in my head, I'm thinking about three things at once.
Yeah.
Then I could like go through like two pages and not even know
like,
what happened.
So she told me that
yeah.
I should get tested for dyslexia, and I was like, I'm not
oh
dyslexic.
God,
yeah.
I told her, I was like, this is a stupid assignment, and I would be in your class because of this. And she goes, okay, well, do you get distracted when you read? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, okay, well, maybe you should stay off your phone. I was like, I've been grounded for the past 2 weeks. I'm not on it. This was a couple months ago. And she goes, oh, yeah, maybe you should go get tested.
Oh
I was
gosh.
Like, no.
I've
so,
never had a teacher
do
that.
We
that's
have
crazy.
Another science teacher. Her name is Miss Davis.
Who is this?
Just one of the science teachers.
Oh, yeah.
But this is her second year teaching, and she likes to argue everything. And so, like, our class is super...
Like, even if everyone's, like, agreeing with her, she'll, like, what? You're going to agree with me?
Like,
she'll start arguing or something?
Like, she'll ask opinions
okay.
and then purposely, like, try to start a little argument.
My
so
teacher did that last
me, like,
semester.
All these questions about evolution and stuff. And I was like, no, because of this and this and this. And I was like, well, this is already wrong because of this law.
Yeah.
And she, like, she got mad at me. She just sent me out. And I was like...
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I was like, are you adding more now? Yeah, the other...
Well, wait, does she even have anything, like, intelligent to say back to it?
No, well, she literally, like, she's a super insecure person.
Aww.
Yeah.
And so, but she'd ask my advice on things.
Like, in her life? Or like,
yeah, like, in her life.
Dude, that's wild,
and
man.
I was
oh
like,
my God.
I'm a kid, and you're...
Isn't
you're
that... That's, like, super unprofessional.
Hey.
Oh, my God, that's so cute.
No, Lauren, this is your... Whenever you think about that teacher, I want you to think about Psalm 119...
She won't talk to me.
Well, I mean, don't say this to her, but this is the verse that would come to mind. I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For that's
that
what my dad says.
There you go, right there. So that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Christian kid that's got the book, you've got a principle of life. Even the adult adults, especially after they've gone through college and gotten like all that stuff taken from them, they see something in you. They really do. They
well,
want to admit
know
it.
Your teachers that like are Christian and go to church, because there's so much, they're just nice
grounded
people.
Yeah,
they, like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she, I don't know, I walk past her every day and I say, hi, Miss Davis, and she won't hardly look at me. And
that's good. Keep it up, man. She's going to remember that, seriously. She will. So I just think with it.
Who's that?
Yeah,
so I'm going to church. I'm going to camp this summer. No matter what, no matter
that's
what.
That's right, you better be.
And I told my band teachers, and guard tryouts are next week, and so I have to talk. I wanted to talk to my coach in person. I feel like she's going to be so mad at me because we figure out who our co-captains are during band camp, and that's when we have church camp. And you know what? That's not going to change how likely, though, I am, because our co-captain since her sophomore year, she's a senior now, for her first 3 years of her high school experience, she missed band camp because of church camp. So if she gets mad over this, I'm going to use that. I'm going to be like, you know.
Aaron, you just do it, girl. You get there. We want you there. We need you there.
Yeah, I was talking to my band teacher, and he's like, yeah, just whenever band camp comes around, just let me know and just remind me. Miss Madej told me that too. And they seem to be okay with it. Hopefully, Miss is upset.
When's the last camp you were at?
The last camp that I was at, like camp, was my church camp that I used to go to before.
Have you ever been to Iris before?
No.
Oh, dude.
That's why, because band camp is always fine in the way, and it's, yeah.
Oops.
Our entire conversation.
No, it's good.